For instance, about 4 weeks ago from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, we're told that Israel cried out to God, "You have forgotten us. You have forsaken us. You've left us." And God had to come to them and say, "Says who?" And he told them, "Where's your divorce certificate? Have you been to the court? Did you get a get? Do you have a judge that signed off on your divorce?" "No, I haven't divorced you." "Can a mother forget her child? I have engraved you, as it were," God says, "on the palm of my hands. You're right in front of me." But yet Israel feels forsaken and rejected. They feel desolate. The cities of Israel have been abandoned as the exiles have been taken to Babylon. The people feel that their land is desolate. Their life is desolate. Their hearts are desolate. And we're even going way back to the Haftorah portion the week right before Tish B'Av. From Isaiah chapter 1, God said, "If you continue in this path, your land will be left desolate." But today, in the seventh and most wonderful and most glorious, most joyful of all these Haftorah portions, God says, "Your land will not be called desolate anymore." It's as if the first 60, it took 62 chapters to get from chapter 1, where their land is desolate, to chapter 62, where God says, "Your land will not be called desolate anymore." God has a new identity, a new name to give His people, a new reputation to give His land. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, it says, "The nations will see will see your triumph, and all the kings will see your glory," speaking of the Jewish people, "and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will speak." Some of the commentators, actually both Jewish and Christian, highlight that this name that God promises is a mystery. We don't know what the name is. Others disagree and says, well, it just down in verse 4, it tells us what the names are. But some of the commentators think that this name is a myth because only God's mouth will speak it. It's not known in any other place. And we'll see that in a moment from the scriptures of the New Covenant. You will be called by a new name. What's this idea of name? For instance, there's a psalm that says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are secure." And so what kind of mixing metaphors? What does that mean that God's name is a strong tower? We thought God's name was Adonai or Hashem, or Elyon, Most High God. What's this, God's name is a strong tower? Because in ancient Near Eastern culture, in the culture of the prophets, for instance, Isaiah, somebody's name was tied to their identity, to their character, to their reputation. Think of this. When you were a kid and you did something wrong, you know, your mom said, "Your name is Mud." Well, that's kind of what we're getting at. It's not that they renamed you from Sally, Barney, or Susie to Mud, but it's when your character is really dirty and ucky, right? You know, you're Mud. Your name is Mud. And so this is the idea of what it means when we talk about the name of God or a name change. here, Israel is told, you will be called by a new name. Can you think of some people in Scripture who received new names? Abraham? Jacob? Sarah? There's a lot, actually. Shimon Kepha was changed to Peter. This is an excursus. If you follow that through, you'll find that no one ever calls him Peter except Yeshua. Yeshua changes his name from Simon, Shimon, to Peter. Nobody else ever calls him that. The text will refer to him as Peter, but nobody ever says, hey, Peter, you know, let's... only Yeshua. That's okay, never mind. To me, that's interesting with some significance. But again, Yeshua names him. Yeshua knows his new identity, even if other people don't quite get it. But that's what happens with Israel. They receive a new name. In Genesis chapter 17, God gave Abraham a new name. We don't refer to him actually by that old name. We just call him Abraham. But Abraham was his new name. And it was at a prominent crossroads of his life. It was when he was circumcised. When God gave him the covenant of circumcision that thereafter every Jewish boy, when he is 8 days old, including Messiah Yeshua, check it out, Luke chapter 2, was circumcised on the eighth day of life. And when Abraham was circumcised, he got a new name because he had a new covenant with God, because he had a new identity. So God changed his name. Genesis chapter 32. You mentioned Jacob, and somebody else over here mentioned Jacob. When Jacob encountered God at Bethel, the house of God, or Bethel, and he pledged a new loyalty to the Most High as he was coming home from like 20 plus years of exile, by the way, God changed his name, gave him a new identity, redefined his past, and changed the direction of his future. He gave him the name Yisrael. From Yaakov, which means heel, and takes on poetically the idea of a deceiver. We use that as well. Oh, you're just the heel, you know. You're just, yeah. God changed his identity to Yisrael, one who has struggled with God and has overcome. Has struggled with God and has overcome. When God changes the name, there is a new identity, there is a new life, there is a new reputation. Israel, you may have felt forsaken, a city desolate, from the book of Lamentations that we read as a nation on Tish B'Av back in July. That painful, gut-wrenching book of Lamentations. But God, into that situation of hopelessness and darkness and ashes, he has brought transformation that I shared 2 weeks ago. God brings divine reversals. God changes ashes to beauty. Here he is changing forsaken to married. Not abandoned, not rejected, married, embraced. Look at verse 4, still in Isaiah 62. You will no more be called forsaken, neither will your land any more be termed desolate. This is what flips the seventh verse of Isaiah on its head, where it says their land will be desolate. God says, no more. Neither will their land be termed desolate anymore. But you will be called, my delight is in her. My delight is in her, and your land espoused or married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land will be married. Your scripture might say, the Lord will call you Hephzibah. You ever known somebody named Hephzibah? Yeah, I didn't think so. It was a real name. King Manasseh, a king of Judah, who, by the way, wasn't such a great king, but his mother's name was Hephzibah. There's a Christian believing pop singer who's actually Jewish and has sung at our national conference for the past couple of years. And suddenly I forget her name. Thank you. Becca Shea. She has a song called Hephzibah, singing about this transformation of identity. So God says, I will call you, my delight is with her, and your land, Beulah, espoused, married. I remember a number of times, especially when my sister and I were younger, hearing my sister kind of complain about this song that she heard some people singing about Beulah Land or something. And she said, that is like the worst song I've ever heard. Until someday, at some point, she was reading this Haftorah portion, and she was like, oh my gosh, I get it. Oh, that's really a beautiful concept. God will call you married. You are not rejected. You are not forsaken. The theme of marriage shows up several times over the past 7 weeks in these readings from the prophets in Isaiah. God has married you. You're still in exile. You haven't even come home yet. But God has married you. In God's eyes, it's as good as done. In God's eyes, there is no exile. The exile has been overturned. Hope and comfort has been filled. That's why this Haftorah portion in Isaiah 61 can begin like this. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and has covered me with a robe of victory. You might consider some of this the source for what is sometimes called the armor of God in Ephesians 6. The image there is less a Roman soldier and more about those who stand in purity, clothed before the Most High. Look down to verse 12. It says, then they shall call them. The they, in context, is the nations around Israel, and the them is Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. So the nations will call Israel the holy people. The holy people. There's a statement in Deuteronomy chapter 7, which Moses tells in that sermon that he preaches, the book of Deuteronomy. It was a really long day. And he says in Deuteronomy 7, you are a holy people. But here, God says you are the holy people. Am HaKodesh. You are the holy people, putting the definite article on there, certifying, stamping his holiness on his people. But wait, there's more. There's three more transformations in that verse. They will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after and a city not forsaken. One commentator pointed out how the order of these seems to go, there seems to be a progression from strongest, from one to the other in reverse order, beginning with holiness, moving to redemption, moving to sought after, moving to finally acceptance. The identity for those that are in this situation, and we, as we've been talking for 7 weeks now, explaining the heart and the pain and the struggle that Israel experienced in exile, God reaches in with four beautiful names. I have accepted you. You are not forsaken. I have sought you out. In other words, I've pursued and I've won you. I have redeemed you and you are my holy people. Note that these are only done by God's hand. It is only God that can confer this new name. It is an identity that God gives out of his blessing, as Rod shared earlier during his drash, a sense of the blessings of God, God shining his face on us, God turning his countenance, smiling, looking us in the eyes, and giving us his peace. What a beautiful identity. Then the world will recognize you as those that have not been forsaken by the Lord, those that the Lord seeks, those that the Lord redeems, and those that the Lord makes holy. What an amazing identity. Going back to Genesis chapter 32, when God changed Jacob's name, God said, I am going to call you Israel because you have struggled with God and man and have overcome. You have prevailed. You have overcome. With that in mind, listen to Revelation chapter 2. To the one who overcomes, I will give a white stone and written on the stone a new name. Where have we heard that phrase? I will give a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Strengthening the idea that in Isaiah 62, that the new name that God gives is a mystery, unknown, except to God himself. To the one who overcomes, where did we just see that? We saw that concept of overcoming, of triumphing, of prevailing with Jacob's new identity. God gave Jacob a new identity from a heel of a guy to one who struggles with God and overcomes. Yisrael. And in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we have those two concepts linked again. To the one who overcomes, I will give a new name known only to the one who receives it. God said, are speaking of Yeshua in John chapter 16, Yeshua comforted his disciples by saying, in this world, you are going to have trouble. Oh, there's going to be exile. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be suffering. God never promised us that we would not have those things. But Yeshua did say something unique and special in John 16, verse 33. He said, you are going to have these kinds of struggles, but take heart. Be strong. Be courageous. Perhaps quoting this week's Torah portion from Deuteronomy. Be strong. Be courageous. Take heart because I have overcome the world. I have overcome. There, I think Yeshua is identifying himself with Jacob, who became Israel. Yeshua is saying, I am like Jacob. I am what Jacob was intended to be. I am the purest representation of the honor and the life that Israel was to become. I have overcome just as Israel was created to overcome. So if Messiah has overcome, and we are called to, in Revelation chapter 2, that verse about the new name, to the one who overcomes, God will give a new name. I submit that just as we see in the Haftorah portion about the transition, the reversal that God brought, promised to bring to our Jewish people. So likewise, it is since Messiah overcomes, we can overcome as well. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, children, John likes to talk in that kind of terms of to, as it were, his disciples. Children, you are from God, and you have overcome because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And I hear lots of people quoting that verse, you know, the greater one is in us. The greater one is in us. But it's set in this context of overcoming. How can we overcome? It's because Messiah Yeshua has overcome. He is the one who has provided the opportunity for us to prevail, to succeed, to experience that reversal. Or in other words, to have a new name, to have a new identity. For the past to be turned on its head, no longer forsaken, but Hephzibah, my delight is in her. Also in 1 John chapter 5, it says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes. God changed Jacob's name to Israel because he prevailed with God and overcame. Israel was created to be overcomers, to use that trite expression, whatever that means. Israel was created to overcome, to prevail. Here, John picks up on that idea. Anyone born of God is created to overcome. We walk in Jacob's new identity. We walk in his new name. We have that new life. anyone born of God overcomes the world. We overcome the world along with Yeshua then. Do you remember I mentioned John 16? Yeshua said, you will have trouble in this world, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. John takes that same language that Yeshua said of himself and says it of all those that are called by God's name. You, if you are born of God, you overcome the world. What is said of Messiah is said of us. Isn't that intriguing? Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that comforting? We have a new identity. We have the identity of Messiah. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is back to 1 John 5. And the victory that has overcome the world is this, our trust in God. Who is it that overcomes the world if not the one who believes that Yeshua is Ben Elohim, the Son of God? We know that we love God's children by this. When we love God and obey His commandments, just two verses earlier, to tie in with Rod's drash. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. You have the promise of a new identity. No longer those old things that you defined yourself, be it geek or jock or stupid. Don't laugh, because there are a lot of us that feel that way. You fill in the blank. Minimized. God takes those things and He turns them on its head. He creates a reversal in our lives. He gives us a new identity, a new destiny. He causes us to overcome, just as Israel was created to do, just as Messiah did. And He promises that we will overcome just like Messiah. If Messiah's identity is within us, you're not defined by those things anymore.